Hello and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, April 19th, 2010. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Well, you know, you can't get away from it. If you have a small business, you just can't get away from it. There's no way around it. It's called www.twitter.com, and it is probably one of the most fantastic things that has hit the online market, I don't know, since it even existed, maybe. Some people would say that's the case. And, you know, last week I heard that the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. is actually cataloging tweets. For better or for worse, it's happening. Twitter is here to stay. But even though it's prolific and it's all over the place, there is still sometimes a great deal of confusion and sometimes even frustration about how to actually use Twitter to market a small business. And we've got a fantastic Twitter guru on our show today who's going to share with us some of her tips and tricks for using Twitter in an efficient and cost-effective manner. Her name is Hollis Thomasis, and she is the author of the newly released Twitter Marketing an Hour a Day book. She is the award-winning founder of WebAdvantage.net, and a leading expert in internet marketing and social media. She has helped lots of companies to launch successful online presences and also to use new marketing strategies just like Twitter. She authors a ClickZ column and is a frequent conference speaker and presenter at key industry events such as Search Engine Strategies, American Marketing Association, and the Public Relations Society of America. I'm excited to welcome Hollis Thomasis to today's show.
Hi, Donna. Thank you.
Hollis, you know, I just want to start by letting our listeners and me get to know you a little bit better. Hollis, what is your Twitter story? When did you first hear about Twitter, and what did you do? Did you totally ignore it, or did you just jump right in?
No, I'm one of those former naysayers myself. The interesting thing was, back in 2006, when Twitter launched, I had somebody working for me who was very excited about Twitter because he had a similar idea that he was working on independently. And he came to me and he said, "This is my idea, this is my idea." And I looked at it and I'm like, "I don't get it still." And it wasn't until sort of monitoring, I would consider myself a typical quasi-early adopter, but not first adopter. So I'm somebody who kind of lets the technology percolate a little bit to see if there is value, particularly for marketers, mm-hmm. because that's what I do. So I may not be the first person to jump on a bandwagon. I'm using my kind of skepticism to be bullet holed through and let the medium prove itself to me, both through uptake in the marketplace, but also bearing out kind of proof points. So it wasn't until a couple of years later, maybe this time in 2008, that I really got active on Twitter. And by then, Twitter had evolved from being a status update kind of thing that people just said, "This is what I'm doing," to really being a marketing channel. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was a very easy way. You know, you mentioned that I write a column. I write a column every other week, and I've written a number of things before writing my book. And writing is a major task at hand, as is blogging. And in addition to all this writing I do, I run a company. So I don't necessarily have time to blog all the time, but I found that I could still have a voice and share a lot of information through Twitter. So that's what really brought it to my attention. And
when you tried it out, I mean, what were your first couple of tweets like? I mean, I remember mine. I was very tentative, and I was checking everything and looking around and sort of making sure that I, you know, just looked as fabulous as I possibly could, and I was 40 characters or less. I don't remember
right.
what I said. I just remember being very careful. And now, of course, I just whip them out, you know, so quickly I hardly even notice.
Right. You know, I probably was a similar way for me. I probably tweeted a little bit about myself, although I tried not to make it you know, just status updates, because I didn't think that anybody would really be interested in what I was having for lunch, or, you know, that's the typical thing that I hear. Why would anybody care what it is that I'm doing at any given moment? And if you think about it that way, then really it doesn't have much value, especially as a business medium. If you think about
it. How do you connect that dot? That's a significant point, I think. How do you connect the marketing use of Twitter with the, you know, I'm at, you know, my favorite coffee shop this morning enjoying organic imported, you know, African roast?
I think it's partly up to your individual strategy. You know, why, what are you trying to accomplish through Twitter or any social media networking for that matter?
I mean, so does that where it start, no matter, it starts no matter what? You have a business, someone tells you about Twitter, You go have a look, you see all these people tweeting, you sort of get a little bit, you know, maybe not confused, but kind of, okay, I'm going to need more time than 2 minutes to take a look at this. What do you do then? What do we say to people who are at that point where they know what it is, they read about it in the paper, you know, they have a business, what to do next?
Right. I think that's two things. They're the kind of people who have to dive in both feet first, and that's how they get comfortable with a medium. And they may not be observing best practices right away, and I think that that's okay, as long as what they're trying to do in the long run then evolves. So if they need to get their feet wet and get comfortable before they really start using it in earnest, then let them do that. Other people, because they're tentative, a little nervous, they need to have a game plan, and they need for everything that they do to be deliberate. And so at some point in time, if you're looking to use Twitter for business, you really want to have a game plan, and that game plan can be very clearly spelled out, or it could just be a vision. And, you know, one of the things that I think my vision early on for Twitter was, I've been in this business of online marketing for 12 years, mm-hmm. since 1998. I've participated in what amounts to social networking in all of those years, except back in the early days it was email discussion lists, mm-hmm. forums and news groups, and we were all communicating virtually. It wasn't through such robust technologies as they have today, but it was still social media in a way. And what we got out of doing that, we meaning those of us who participated, was a lot of give and take. So people would ask questions and you'd answer them if you knew the answer. You were trying to kind of help the greater good. So I just always took that approach that was what one of the ways that I was going to leverage Twitter is. It's just another place for me to help, you know, kind of answer questions, participate, be part of a bigger thing, and, you know, frankly, I have a lot of subject matter expertise, so why not leverage it? It's also a way for me to, in my ClickZ column, I only write about one topic. I write about online media planning, so it's very limited. And we have an agency blog, and we write about subject matter there, but sometimes there's this big void between the stuff that I know and the stuff that I have access to and those places. It doesn't have a home in either of those places, but I can give it a home on Twitter. Twitter can be a medium for me to communicate really whatever it is that I want. And, you know, it's a combination of being useful and helpful and also, you know, just having an opinion and having a voice. So my Twitter bio says I tweet about a lot of different things. I tweet about, you know, industry news. I tweet about food and travel and wine and politics and news and, you know, things that I think that just help stimulate conversation, because I like getting people stimulated.
So you've got this book, Twitter mm-hmm. Marketing an Hour a Day, and it is quite substantial, and I mean, it's got some great things in it. The most wonderful thing about it, there's lots of them, but is that it's divided up into chapters. And I want to share this with listeners just really quickly, because I think in the front you actually call it sort of like a cliff notes. Mm-hmm. But you can go through and you can actually just take a look at a chapter, and you can go in any order you want, really. But you've got it laid out in a logical way. And the first chapter where you entitle it Week 1 is all about getting on Twitter. So we can... I really want, you know, to make sure that you know, everybody takes to heart what you just said, which is you don't have to do it in any particular way. But the second thing under part two is finding and attracting followers. And a lot of people come on Twitter and they go, oh, you know, I got to get some followers. I got to get some followers. Let's talk for a second, Hollis, about the importance or not of followers or the types of followers you have. And what are some of the strategies or approaches that a small business owner can take to get followers that make a difference in their business?
Right. Well, first of all, I'm really glad that you mentioned that about the book, because I think that one of the challenges is that there's a lot of books on Twitter on the market, and the thing that people say to me once they have the book in their hand is, my God, there's a lot of heft here. Because, you know, when you look at a book on the Internet, it's one-dimensional. All you see is the front cover. You don't realize it's an inch and a quarter thick with 10-point font and 478 pages worth of information that you can go through. And I really did try to present it in a way that was organized and logical so that you could either hopscotch around to what made sense to you or you could follow it from front to back. With respect to the question about how you attract followers and what's the value of followers, well, followers are what are going to give you your voice. So if you are just tweeting into the Twitter sphere and nobody is following you, then you're kind of talking to yourself.
But that's how everyone starts, right?
It is how everyone starts, because there isn't anything that comes with Twitter other than an account, right? You don't come with a following.
Right. So where do you go from there? Do you follow Twitter's lead and say, find your friends on Twitter when you sign up and go find people? Do you let your friends know who you know have Twitter accounts that you're there and ask them to, you know, check you out and let's talk on Twitter?
So let's talk about some of the basics first. Remember that Twitter is just a tool, just like all the other social media things, just like everything else in marketing is, and you need to integrate them all. So one of the first things that you want to do is, how else are you letting people know about you, period? So make sure that your email signature line has your Twitter handle in it. If you're updating your business cards, put your Twitter handle in it. Do the simple things so that on a day-to-day basis when you're communicating with people, they can find you easily.
Okay, so this is a super good tip. No matter how many followers you have, you're saying that one of the best things you need to do is to make sure that that Twitter handle is every place you communicate with people outside of Twitter, so if they're on Twitter, they can go and find you there.
Exactly, especially for anybody who's coming onto Twitter right now, whose name may be a common name and already taken, or whose name is too long and so they had to come up with some sort of clever Twitter handle,
mm-hmm.
because you can't have more than 15 characters.
Right.
So you need to, bear in mind that you may not be easily found. So you want to put your Twitter handle on everything that people who know you are coming in contact with.
That's a really good tip. I'm surprised. I'm looking up, just scrolling through my email box as we're talking, and I'm surprised at the number of people who I know are on Twitter that don't have their Twitter link in the body of the email at the bottom. And then if it's there, sometimes it's not hyperlinked, and most
right.
people aren't going to cut and paste, are they?
No. So you want to make it as easy as you can for them.
Okay, good. That's a really good point. So what are some of the other things that we can... I mean, this is a good review for people who may have been on Twitter for a while. Everybody doesn't do this stuff.
Now, of course, you know, Twitter has its own Find People tool.
Right.
So once you create an account and you go up in the top menu bar, you can go to Find People. And mm-hmm. they've expanded ways in which you can find people. So one is Find Friends. And if you go to that tab, mm-hmm. you can ask Twitter to connect with other accounts you already have, your Gmail account, your Yahoo account, your AOL account. And Twitter can then tell you if your friends are also on Twitter with that email address.
Good.
So at that point in time, then you can connect with them.
Okay.
And remember, Twitter is a little different than some of the other social networking channels. So
well, we definitely want to explore that, but we have to take our first break.
Okay.
Twitter is different from other places. And, you know, let's talk more specifically about how it's different from Facebook, because that just happens to be where most of my show listeners are also congregating and connecting. So we're going to come back in a minute right after this quick break to talk with Hollis Thomases, author of Twitter Marketing, An Hour a Day. This is Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. I'm so excited today. We are talking with Hollis Thomases, the author of Twitter Marketing, An Hour a Day. And before we took our first break, Hollis was sharing that Twitter is very different from other social networking and social media sites. So I want to ask you how that is and how can we take advantage of that?
Well, the main difference is that on other social networking sites, people want to connect with you. They have to send you an invitation, and you have to accept their invitation in order for them to be connected to you. And then through that connection, they can do other things. They can see your information. They can make contact with you, etc. In the case of Twitter, it's kind of the opposite. Anybody can connect with you. So if anybody can connect with you, that means that everything that you do and say, for the most part, is on the public timeline. Now, there is information on Twitter through what's called direct message that is private, and that's between two people who, in order to send a direct message to somebody, they have to be following you. It doesn't have to be reciprocal, but in order for you to send to somebody, they have to be following you. So the difference on Twitter is that when you do this find friends to start to build a following, you find your friends and you can follow them, and they'll be notified that you're following them, and what you know you're hoping is that they then follow you back. There's another way to use Twitter to attract new followers, by the invite by email, in which case you're sending them an invitation saying, hey, I'm on Twitter, this is my handle, why don't you follow me? So that's those are two ways that you can attract followers. But then the other thing that's different, of course, about Twitter and Facebook and other social networking tools is that Twitter is this unique medium that's limited to 140 characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that trips people up at first. Like, what can I do or say or communicate in 140 characters? I think that the thing that people don't realize is there's also the ability to link in a tweet. And that link can be to any number of things and can be incredibly potent. I know right now you and I have tweeted about this show with a link to the show, so you may have listeners that are listening to this show because you included a little link in your tweet.
Right.
And that's kind of the way that you leverage these 140 characters. And you can connect through a link to photos, to video, to blog posts, to radio shows, to articles, to a whole number of things. You can even link to longer text.
Well, and let's talk about that too, Hollis, because I actually wrote about this in my newsletter this morning. How important is it to make sure that the vast majority or what number approximately, what percentage of your tweets actually give people something to do, something to click on, something to see, something to hear, something to look at?
Well, that's a great question. I don't know if there is a formula that's the right formula, because there is this kind of aspect of community to Twitter that if all you did was give people links to stuff about you, that you're not really helping the greater good. And you give what you get, and you get what you give on Twitter. So you can have links to things that are you-related, but you also want to have things that are other-related. So
you're doing some examples of some good ones.
So one thing that I write these columns, and as a result of being just a writer for years, I get a good number of preview pieces of information, media pitches, essentially. I can't write about them all, and I don't necessarily, they don't always have bearing on what it is that I'm writing about. But if I think that there's something newsworthy and interesting in there, I can tweet about it and link to that information so my readers then get the same preview I'm getting, or my followers, in the case of Twitter, are getting the same information. So there I'm kind of giving people timely, newsworthy, maybe hard-to-find information that they otherwise wouldn't get.
Okay.
Also, any time that you're retweeting somebody, you're really giving, because you're giving somebody else visibility through your own network. So you and I may have different followers, and by retweeting one another, we're helping each other's visibility more through
right.
our network.
In the chat room, Alyssa Middleton is thanking you, Hollis, for mentioning how important it was to add your signature line with your Twitter and Facebook links, and it's just doing it right now. So, so that's really good. Thank you, Alyssa, for being here and for sharing that positive feedback. And you know, when you were talking about increasing followers by sharing other things, I have found that my followers increase exponentially when I participate in Twitter chats. Tell us what Twitter chats are and how participating in one can help you increase your Twitter circle.
I think Twitter chats are wonderful. They're usually anchored with the hashtag, and for those people who don't know what a hashtag is, it's with the pound sign, and then whatever that name of that chat is, and usually it's not too long to keep the characters in check, and everybody who's communicating might be using that hashtag, or you can use technology to aggregate all the tweets of the people who are in the chat, so you don't even have to use the hashtag, but for newcomers, I think the hashtag is an easier way to explain this. And there's a topic related to that tweet chat that everybody's focused on, and the reason why it's a good way for you to build a community and a following is particularly if you're involved in and engaged in this chat, and it does you no good if you're just sitting there lurking, which is watching what everybody's tweeting but not saying anything yourself. But when you're saying things, you know, anybody who's involved in that chat is getting exposure to you. So it's a way for you to both find people who might be intriguing to you and for them to find you. And you're all talking about something that you're obviously involved or engaged about because you're involved in that chat.
Now, Hollis, I have a friend who's listening to the show at my request today because his Twitter page is all retweets of his blog posts. It's just from top to bottom, retweets of his blog posts. That's it, nothing else. It's not auto-fed. He does actually click the Tweet Mimi button and make that happen. But I want to ask you what you would say to him. Let's just assume that his blog posts are really good for his niche, and they are. What would you say to him about that, and what are some tiny steps, some small beginner steps, because he's just getting his feet wet here and his wife just had a baby last week. What would you say to him to help him make better use of that? And I will also say that he's an international speaker, and he's got some pretty heavy hitter, well-known authors already following him because he's in their circle. What couple of things would you suggest for him?
Well, I always like to remind people that because everything is public on the timeline of Twitter, you, for better or worse, are being judged by your timeline. So somebody who might come to your account to determine in 10 seconds or less whether or not you're follow-worthy, if all they see are your blog post listings, they're not going to see that you're interesting and engaged with them. And Twitter is about conversation. So whether you're having conversation in a larger environment like a chat or one-on-one with people, if people look at your timeline and you have no engagement there, meaning no at messages to other people, they're going to think, well, great, why should I follow you on Twitter? I can just subscribe to your blog post through an RSS feed and just get it that way. They want to have conversation with you. And also they want to possibly meet other people that you know through that kind of engagement.
Right.
So you really need to do more than just Twitter. It was never meant to just be a push channel.
Okay.
So the problem when you only push out blog posts, or even if, you know, somebody's doing it manually and not through a Twitter feed, it still doesn't show that you're really interested in being part of a community.
It's just you can easily become background noise, and that's not what we want our businesses to be.
Right.
So your book is entitled Twitter Marketing, An Hour a Day. So when I read that, I thought, okay, I can knock this out an hour a day. An hour a day seems like actually quite a bit of time, and I've read emails, as you know, you get them all the time from people who say things like, I can show you how to, you know, blast Twitter out in 15 minutes a week, or, you know, 5 minutes a day. So I want to ask you two questions. Number one, explain a little bit, if you can, about the title of the book, and then also, you know, what do you think of that? I know every business is different, but, you know, is Twitter something that when all is said and done in any 24-hour period, you can sort of try and figure out how much time is appropriate for your business to invest in it?
So I'll answer your last question first.
Okay.
I think absolutely. The point is that with all of this, you need to figure out which medium are best for your business and which one is best for your time. Because if you don't feel like you're benefiting from doing this, then why the heck are you? And that's really the concern I have with the larger question of social media, because everybody thinks right now it's a panacea. Oh, it's free, and it's going to be something I can do, and it's going to grow my business by leaps and bounds. And that's not necessarily true. All of this stuff requires time, and unless, you know, you work for free, then your time is money, and you have to determine whether or not this is time well spent and that you're getting any benefit from it. Now, I might raise my hand and say, you know what? I'm not necessarily doing this to help me grow my business. I'm doing this because I enjoy it. And, hey, if that's why you're doing it, then that's perfectly okay. But you have to define the criteria that work for you. So whether it's Twitter an hour a day, or LinkedIn an hour a day, or some combination thereof an hour a day, or guess what? I'm not going to do any of this an hour a day because I want to be on the street selling. That's what you got to determine. So I really do think that you need to approach this pragmatically. Now, that being said, the point of this kind of book title is that nobody's going to become an expert in so-called, I love all the social media experts out there, I don't even profess to be one of them, is that anything is going to take uptake. It's going to take time to learn how to do and to execute. So you've got to give it that care and feeding and time to experiment with it, to both become comfortable and to learn from it, and to make it then, if you're going to use it for you, a practical use of your time. So it may be that some days you spend 2 hours on Twitter and other days you spend 0 hours on Twitter, but the point is that you can accomplish getting yourself up to date and working with Twitter as a marketing tool by just dedicating an hour a day.
Mm-hmm.
And it may balance out that you find, you know, in fact, one of the assistants on my book has a great methodology, 15 minutes in the morning, half an hour at lunch, 15 minutes at the end of the day, and that's her hour.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
That's a system that works for her. So it may not be that you do an hour nonstop. It may just be that that's what works for you. See, so the point is...
What's also so interesting, too, Hollis, is that with a mobile device, you can be sharing interesting information on Twitter and almost not even count that time because, you know, you're taking a picture of the fantastic meal that you're eating, or the rainbow is beautiful, and that is actually making a contribution to the whole synergy that exists around your business. And that may not even be something that you go, okay, you know, it took me 15 seconds to send that, so I've
right.
got to count that in.
Right. I think that the mobile accessibility to Twitter is one of its hugest assets. And yes, now there's other applications to the other social media networks, but really with Twitter you can combine everything that you're doing on one device and utilize Twitter. So I do think that there's lots of uncounted time that you could contribute to Twitter, and also you could just be, you could literally be sitting there on the airplane, you know, at the gate, tweeting.
I know. So. It's like such a part of your life. It's just part of life and business, and it's all one sort of big thing. We're going to come back after our final break and talk more with Hollis Thomases, author of Twitter Marketing, An Hour a Day, and we are going to get that hour a day question answer out of you, Hollis. And we also have a follow-up from the chat room from someone who wants a little bit more clarification about TweetChat. We're going to come back and ask and answer that question as well right here on Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Hello, welcome back to Indie Business Radio, and I was just having a chat with our guest, Hollis Thomas, and I didn't hear the countdown, so sorry about that, everyone. Here we are. We're going to take this question from the chat room. Alyssa Middleton says she's glad we're talking about Twitter chatting, Hollis. She sort of says she gets kind of lost in how fast the chats move, so she doesn't participate anymore, but she really wants to again. Can you share, sort of break down some steps to making participating in a Twitter chat more useful and maybe a little slower for people who, you know, just don't want to go that fast?
Right. I think it isn't easy, and the larger the number of participants in the chat, the more of a challenge it is. The most basic way is if there's a hashtag that's being used, to just go to Twitter search, search.twitter.com, right.
Okay.
And put in the hashtag.
Okay.
And then Twitter will tell you, it'll refresh when people have added to that chat.
Okay.
There are a number of tools that also allow you to aggregate the hashtag and do the work for you and just deliver you the results of that hashtag tweeting. But, I have found that the best tweet chats are one where there's a moderator, kind of like you, the role you're playing right now, Donna, is that you are interviewing me and you and I are talking. But when there's a tweet chat, if there's a strong moderator, that person is the one who's kind of watching the scene and bringing back the conversation and or asking people pointed questions. And just like in any other kind of open forum, the more that person who's in charge is kind of taking an active role, the better off it's going to be. So my advice to anybody who's thinking about hosting a tweet chat for their business is that you need to prepare ahead of time to have both an agenda and some talking points so that you can get the conversation going, because there's nothing worse than having, quote-unquote, hosting a chat that's going nowhere. And then the second thing is that you need to be more on the outside than on the inside of that chat, meaning you need to be playing the observer role and the control role rather than necessarily engaging in all the conversation. Better to guide the conversation than to engage in it.
So you can help people find their way by doing that. And, you know, one of the things that I have found helpful, if I may, is also sort of scanning the page of tweets for, number one, people that you know, so you can already kind of look and maybe retweet what they said or maybe answer their question, and then scan it also for a lot of times when people ask questions on Twitter during a chat, they use the letter Q, a capital Q, or Q1,
right.
Q2, so people will know this is a new question that I'm posing. So if you just look for those, then that's your opportunity to answer a question.
Right, absolutely.
Lots of other ways to do it. So hopefully that helps, Alyssa. If you have any other questions, please ask. So Hollis, let's get to Twitter marketing an hour a day. What do you mean by that in this book? Can I, rock Twitter out in an hour a day, and that's it?
Well, in this book, you mentioned before that the format is that there's parts of the book, and then each part is divided into a week, and each week is divided into a day. And one of the things that I'd like to say is a good point about this book is that they're accompanying each of these days where there's different topic and subject matter that's covered in that day's theme. There's a homework assignment. So
good.
You can literally read that day's chapter of information and then do the homework assignment, and that should be your hour.
So easy. So easy that it's broken down that way.
Yes.
That's really good. So let me ask you this. And I know I'm sort of moving really quickly now because I have a million questions and I only have time for a few more with you here. So I really do suggest, by the way, no matter where you are in Twitter, there is something in this book for you. As Hollis just said, it's divided up really nicely and neatly into specific questions and answers and homework. Hollis, what is live streaming and how, if at all, do you recommend that small business owners consider incorporating that into their Twitter outreach?
Well, in a way, live streaming plays upon the same idea as the tweet chat. What you're doing in a live stream is, let's say that you have a listener right now to this interview who was wanting to take away the little nuggets from our interview and essentially, for lack of a better word, use them as tweet fodder. So they're thinking that their following would find what you and I are discussing interesting and that they want to tweet it. Like you had TJ Wilson mention that he's excited that I mentioned that email signature tip, and he tweeted about that. So in a live streaming tweet, there's usually also a hashtag that anchors it because people might be looking for that hashtag, and it typically takes place during an event. So somebody called it tweet broadcasting or tweet casting.
Right.
And so you're just using little nuggets, little takeaways. Some people are a little bit more excessive than others.
Mm-hmm.
And you're posting them live, and they're anchored with the same hashtag for everybody.
That's great. And that's so much fun, too. I'm speaking at a conference later this month, and there's already, it's a month away, and there's, well, actually it's not that far, a couple weeks away, and there's already, hashtags in place, and they're even having a competition for, like, the best tweeter of the day every day at the conference. So they're really making it a lot of fun and growing the interest already. We're already using the hashtag, and we're not even there. And, again, TJ Wilson, IV on Twitter is talking about how he's updating his links. And, if I could share this, too, I met him just last week because I, along with a friend of mine, Bella Luce, on Twitter, we hosted a tweet-up. So we started tweeting about this tweet-up on Tuesday. We had the tweet-up on Friday. And TJ was there, and I told him about the show. And so here he is, and his followers have gone up since then because he's been tweeting. We've been talking to each other, and now here he is on the show. So welcome, TJ. Excited to have you here. And so as you were saying earlier, Hollis, it's sort of a matter in some respect of just showing up almost and joining some conversation that has some meaning to you.
Absolutely. And so then it takes a little bit more sophistication to figure out which conversations have meaning to you. And if you're looking to use Twitter for business, mm-hmm. then are the conversations with your peers, or are the conversations with your prospects, or the conversations with certain industries that you're pursuing your business in? And it, you know, could be any combination thereof.
And you can have all of those, you're saying, but it's important to systematize them or strategize so that you're not just totally all over the place with no, you know, end result that you want to get out of all of the participation.
Correct. I mean, if that's what's happening to you, then you probably are going to feel like Twitter's a waste of your time.
And so, and that's okay, right? I mean, maybe for you, with your business and the goals that you've set, it just might be. But let me ask you this. If you've decided that, and I know some people who have decided that, do you think it's worth it for those business owners to every quarter or so go back and take a look, read up on what's new about Twitter, how has it changed, how have other businesses like them started to use it? Because it really, you can't just look at this as what it looks like today and make a decision for the rest of the life of your business about what you're going to do with it, right? It's a constant, you know, we're in constant beta now, right? We have to always know what's going on so we can reassess decisions we made last quarter or last year.
I think that the thing that's really fascinating about Twitter is that people are finding new ways to exploit it all the time. And the way that you're going to find out about that is by participating, by, you know, following news stories, by asking people. I mean, this question comes up all the time when I speak about Twitter. Well, how do you even know what to tweet about? What, you know, I'm always stumped. I don't know what to talk about. And I said, well, if you're ever stumped to figure out something to talk about, why not ask a question?
Yeah, or retweet what somebody else said that you thought was interesting.
Yeah, that's definitely easy. The retweet is definitely an easy, but it doesn't stimulate conversation.
Oh, well, that's true.
So asking a question is a great way to put the out there to your group of followers or somebody who may also be talking about the topic that doesn't even follow you at this moment but found you through a search or something. You're asking for their thoughts on your dilemma or your curiosity or your controversy or whatever, and I think that that's one really great way to engage people, because then you're opening the door for them to talk to you.
That's a really good point. And if you're hard pressed for a question, you can always retweet someone else's question, right? and that way, you know that you get them on your radar screen and they get on yours. And then I've also retweeted questions and then put a little parenthetical if it's a short question behind it, saying, you know, I disagree, or what do you think of this?
Exactly,
and,
exactly. The kind of rule of thumb is don't just ever retweet, you know, for the sake of retweeting. If you can, add a couple of words, and mm-hmm. if you don't have the characters, try to edit down the retweet a little bit to give yourself a voice.
Yeah, and you know, may I just say that is such a pet peeve. There is a person on Twitter who's got a billion gazillion followers, and I actually recently unfollowed because I got tired of this. Every single tweet was retweeting another somebody else's stuff. It never said retweet, though, but it was always like the title of the article, the link, and then PLZRT.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He pumped out like 20 of them in a row.
I know. I probably had the same experience that you had and did the same exact thing you did. But, you know, that raises a really good point, and that is, to me, it doesn't matter how many followers you have. It really isn't about this, you know, getting to a million followers or 40,000 followers. It's the quality of the followers that you have. And everybody starts out small.
Right.
Remember, you come to Twitter with nothing.
That's right.
So, and be very suspicious if you go to somebody's account and they've got like 5 tweets and they've got 40,000 followers. Obviously not a real person tweeting.
Right, right. And so those are things to look out for. Now, you just said something. You said it's not the number, it's the quality. Give us some examples of how we know that the quality's there. How do we gauge that?
I look for somebody who, like I said, is engaging themselves. So it's one thing if you're, you know, you strike up a conversation one time, maybe over a something, and that person, and you chat, but it's another thing if they just drop off the face of the planet for you. And if you happen to retweet their things a couple of times and they never acknowledge or thank you, or if you try to send them a message and they never reply to you, to me that kind of person is just in it for their own personal gain, and they're not really trying to have a conversation. They're not really trying to connect one-on-one with people or companies. They're just really in it for some sort of popularity contest. And it's okay to unfollow those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know. It is. Good advice. And so, you know, one of the fun things about Twitter, too, I'd like your comment on is, you know, when I tweet something, I often, in my newsletter and in my blog, will link to the tweet. If I'm making a point, or, you know, and that's a really cool way, do you think, to sort of, you know, interconnect everything.
I love that. In fact, that's in my book, too. It's perfectly okay to, first of all, I don't even know if all of your readers know how to do that, but each tweet has a link to a solo URL that represents that tweet.
Yeah, so all you do is click on you look at the tweet, and at the bottom it says 10 minutes ago or 38 minutes ago. When
right,
you click on that, it gives you that URL.
Right.
Cool.
So that URL is then a URL that you can tweet. And you can tweet it with a commentary, or you can tweet it with a question, or you can shorten it, of course, so that you have a little bit more characters, and then say, oh, you're never going to believe this, or this was a great comment by one of my followers, or whatever. And it's different than a retweet, because in a way it gives you more characters.
Mm-hmm. How cool. I just think that is so wonderful. And again, I think this illustrates the importance for us as small business owners to make sure that we keep checking back to see if there are new things that weren't there 6 months ago that we can take advantage of. Great advice from Hollis Thomases, the author of Twitter Marketing, An Hour a Day, and I cannot emphasize this enough. When I first got this book in the mail, I went, an hour a day? This is like, what 100 pages do we have here? 450 pages on an hour a day. But I really want to emphasize, as you did, Hollis, that you have divided this up so carefully and so simply and succinctly that anybody, whether you're new to Twitter or not, can check out one chapter and just get something out of it and do your homework and really be able to propel your Twitter use forward. So thank you for all the investment. This is a huge investment of time, a real nice legacy here for Twitter users. We appreciate it. Tell us, Hollis, where do we go to get more information about you?
Well, of course, you can either come to one of two places. My company is WebAdvantage, and we are at webadvantage.net, mm-hmm. and that's all one word. There's also our book website is Y140, like the word Y, W-H-Y 140, and both places have more information about me, and of course the book website has more information about the book, and my company's website has more information about me and our company and our services, and as you mentioned earlier, we're an online marketing and advertising agency, so we do work to help companies use the internet as a marketing channel.
And you can follow Hollis on Twitter at her name, Hollis Thomases. So there you go. You can watch and see her in action doing some of the things she said work for her business. And, you know, I have found one of the best things to do on Twitter, follow somebody who enjoys it, who knows what they're doing, who's gotten good at it, and essentially do some of the things that they do. You really can't go wrong with that. And Hollis is tops where that is concerned. Thank you so much for joining us today, Hollis. It's great to have you, and I will be posting this show to indiebusinessradio.com, of course, where you can stream it, download it. I'll also be posting a blog about it, and it will be available on iTunes as well. Thank you so much for joining us. I am very excited. Next week, Julie Austin, she is the author of The Money Garden, How to Plant the Seeds for a Lifetime of Income. She is also the creator and the patent owner for a product called Swiggies. They are wrist water bottles that you can use when you're running. They've got kid sizes, adult sizes. So you know what? We're going to be tackling the topic of getting a patent for a product that you love, that you think there's a market for. She's going to walk us through how to do it and how to create different streams of income from an idea that you have. Such an important thing, an empowering thing for all small business owners to consider doing today. That's next week, April 26th, right here on Indie Business Radio. I'll see you then. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.